You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Support for this podcast comes from the patrons at patreon.com/FMLFBL. Welcome to FMLBL Milan. What's happening, bro? It's an afternoon pod for us.
Yeah, it's another seltzer pod.
It's about 96 degrees and humid as ass fuck in New York. So apologies if you hear my AC or fan that's on my face right now, but I need them so badly.
Sorry to hear that. Sorry for your loss.
I guess half the people listening do Celsius, so I think it's fuck me in the ass Celsius if I was going to do the conversion live on air.
That sounds accurate.
Yeah, 96 times like 9/5. Yeah, that sounds about right. So before we get into this, which will be our final Euros pod, final Euro fantasy pod of the
Don't forget the music.
Tournament. Yeah, I got to put that. I'll put the music in. We're going to take a break, a long break. Like the break,
a good old day break.
Yeah, it's like a 2.5 week break before we start the FPL preseason pods.
Yeah, so we're roughly sketching. We were sketching out how many. We're probably going to do about 4 preseason pods, and then we're probably going to try and shoot for 3 extras with like interviews and, you know,
fireside-y
type pods. So they're all going to be somewhat FPL relevant, I think.
Yeah, I mean, ish.
FPL pod.
Yeah. Ish. As we evolve more into a football pod and less into an FPL pod. But yeah, no, I mean, that's the ideal for us right now. And we have the people in mind that we want to talk to. So hopefully it's going to be about 7 pods starting mid-July, July 19th-ish. Let's do it. Hopefully the break gets me excited about FPL because I'm not there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, and we'll probably, I don't know, probably, but maybe we'll do the bonus pods for patrons only.
Or something like that, yeah.
That's something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So we had another disaster, quarterfinals.
Yeah. Turns out bad fantasy managers are still bad.
We're still bad. Fantasy is an excellent servant, but a terrible master, as they say. I mean, we knew it was risky going in, right? Blowing all the chips, we knew that the risk was this round, but we felt like, okay, there's a bunch of like very one-sided matches that, you know, in past, in 2018, 2016, like most of them went the way that they were supposed to go, not supposed to go, meant to go or predicted to go or whatever. And just all of our players are eliminated now.
Yeah. I mean, realistically, as we looked at this, which is what we were expecting, were that Netherlands, Italy, and France would go through. And if that happened, we would only have 2 eliminated players, which would be perfect. That's like kind of how we drew it up.
Yeah, we'd have Jota, Bale. We could afford tons of different players between them two with 3 free transfers. Good to go.
But instead, we have like 10 players eliminated. So that's a bad job by us. So, you know, this is the kind of thing that I don't even know if there's anything to learn from. It's just, you know, you approach the game in a different way of, you know, you either don't use your wild card at all costs so that you have it for right now. In which case, right, the two heavily favored teams don't lose. And then you're just like, well, that was stupid because my team has that or just don't need a wild card. I wouldn't even use a wild card
right now
versus doing how we were approaching it, which was, you know, not that way. And we got fucking dismantled by it. And that's a bad job by us. But
yeah.
It was a fun, I think. The competition was fun to play, and I'm sure there are a lot of people that do have their chip and are doing well and, you know, still looking to continue to get points and, you know, are gonna, anyone who has their wild card obviously are so heavily, you know, in favored versus anyone who doesn't. It's not even really close. So
I didn't see a team that doesn't have a chip that didn't have like very similar distribution to us with like the amount of Netherlands, the amount of France. And like we only had one Spaniard. Like most people had like three.
Yeah. Well, they either didn't play last game or probably won't play next game. Like, you know, people had Alba, people had fucking Moreno.
So yeah,
they
basically Simon, didn't have Alba, Moreno, or Sarabia.
Or Pau. I mean, Pau obviously always just comes in and assists every game, but like all of those players didn't start. So that's another thing where it's like we accurately assess dodging everyone not playing, but Sarabia did come in obviously.
The funny thing that he
might not play next game, so
that I was thinking about also with our team and just all of the fucking eliminated symbols next to all the players is like we also have four Italian players that were inches away from being eliminated in regulation time.
Yeah.
Like everyone's oh yeah, Italy. It's like, dude, what? Did you watch that game? They were fucking on their ass from the second half onwards.
The VAR disallowed goal
and just the pressure that Austria generated from 45 minutes through extra time was out of control.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a real chance that we had all but three eliminated players.
Yep.
Just Miley, Raz, and Simon. Own goal, genius, Simon. It's just like, what the hell happened? I'm so happy Raz came through, though, ending our captain streak.
On 11.
Yeah.
11 straight captain blanks into the Raz beauty.
Lucky number
the Raz
11.
Beauty.
Yeah. Raz, worldie. Top of the FMLFL league is JDV Cheetahs, a.k.a. Verstat United. Good job by you. And then, yeah, man. So let's talk about some stuff. Not that much stuff, but some stuff. Let's just go straight to questions, because some people are still playing this game, despite us abandoning ship.
Yeah,
abort, mayday. So Pick said, obvious question, what is the game plan for us who have used all the chips and have four Dutch players and French players? Any helplines, you know? So, like, we're probably not going to even bother making transfers because I don't care enough to try and salvage this, but some people are.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you do if you have 5 to 7 players on your team who aren't eliminated and you have 3 free transfers?
Yeah. I mean, I think it still goes back to the same kind of tactic of before of, you know, you want to pick players from teams that you think are going to advance. Like that's first and foremost.
I think so.
So that you don't have to use another transfer on a player next week in that slot. Right.
Yeah.
But, you know, taking hits to get players on your bench probably would not bother with. I think you just want to try and get 11 and just that's it.
Yeah. The important thing to remember is that there's only 2 days. So there's only one sub
one captain switch.
Window one and sub. One captain yeah. switch. So yeah, you just have to go for 11, I think, is really all it is.
Yeah, and you know, saying that they're -2s and not -4s because it's almost like, okay, that's fine, but
whatever.
whatever you want to tell yourself. But the other thing, you just look at this tournament as it's progressing, right? With no bonus points, you know, something we talked about early on. No bonus points, like a lot of very, very, very low scores. A lot of unexpected rotation, you know, which you'll get some team sheets, but you know, we've been picking a literal brand new team every week for 4 weeks, and we've been watching pretty much every single game, and we just like are barely getting like 5 returns in the 15. So, you know, pinpointing where they're going to come is obviously with these small samples and the football's a bit shit and everything's so unpredictable. You know, you're having a harder time doing that versus like we're used to in the Prem. It's like, oh, City are playing Fulham. Like it's going to be a fuck fest. You know, here, you know, we see.
That is like a takeaway though that I have is to a reminder that one match, no matter who the opposition is, who the team is, how consistent they are, who their players are, is like, it's still unpredictable. Because that happens in FPL too, right? It's like, oh my God, City, home, West Brom. I'm bringing in Kev Kuhn capping, and then they 1-1 or 1-0, or it's just horrible. Right. And it's like, everyone's like, how is that possible? Like, this happens every day in this game. We wildcard our team every fucking week. And like, in FPL, the thing that usually pays off is patience, right? It's like, I got this great player on a great team. He's nailed. Everyone's panicking and ripping him out of their team because he blanked twice in a row. I was like, just hold him. Like, he's good.
Yeah.
Like,
which doesn't apply to this game.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a lesson that I'm learning from this game.
Yeah. Right. There's so much more luck involved here.
Yeah.
So, you know, you still just, you know, pick players who you think are going to get points, obviously. But, you know, the low point ceiling is just so loud while we play this game, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, just keep that in mind when you're taking hits. And if you just want to have fun and do button clicking, then just do whatever you want.
Then do
you
that.
Get 15 players so you have guys to watch and root for, knowing that you're tanking your... I mean, no one gives a fuck. It doesn't matter. This game doesn't matter. It's useless. Right. It goes into the ether after the final's over. Like, no, I don't... You don't, like, check it and shit. Like, no one cares. So you just do whatever you want to have fun also. So don't forget about that.
We're not doing a post-mortem on the 7-game-week game with 4 wild cards, but...
We're not.
Yeah, no, the another thing that we've just hammered home all tournament also is you're going to get the Swiss and Spain team sheets, and Spain are one of the teams that I would list as heavy favorites. They're really good, and getting their team sheet
favorites
is massive because they rotate so much. So that's a good
place to
target.
If you're wild carding or just using transfers, that's for transfers, the first place to look. Just get their players in.
Yeah,
because you know we'd expect Alba to come back and Moreno to come back, all those guys. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, we'll see.
Porque sí, si? Or
porque no, no. Bravo.
Oh! or not porque, whatever the fuck. Bill said, since clean seem to be harder to come by with fatigue setting in, what attack-minded defenders are left that are worth bringing in?
I mean, this is all contextual, we don't know who everyone has, but Spinazzola is still obviously extremely
incredible.
Good. He's just the best defender in the game. Like, it's been pretty evident as
him
the
and Miley.
Games have progressed. Yeah, Miley, whatever the fuck, Denmark, he's not a defender, he's just the winger. You know, those two are definitely the loudest to me. I mean, Zinchenko came in and actually got points this week. It was the first time, but he was playing a little bit more forward than he has been, and he was kind of an added, you know, guy in there. So
I
don't know if that's a good
like
pick
Spain
England,
too
but.
I mean it's probably gonna be Azpilicueta and Alba, I would guess, but who knows. I mean,
it could be Llorente could come back in just because he's fresher, you know, we don't know, but I mean there's a lot of options. Then in England, right, the wing backs still, like, Shaw got an assist.
I think it's Shaw. Yeah, like I don't know who's gonna start at right back. I don't know what system they're gonna play. Trippier kind of like pulled his ass, or he got kneed in the ass, so I don't know that sketch. But Shaw obviously deserves to start again, so I think he will. Mishka, how many Ukrainian players should I bring in on wildcard? Is he Ukrainian? When I read the question, I was like, I hope you're Ukrainian because that's amazing.
I have no idea about the Mishkas of
he's
what
just
he's up to.
A mystery he's just, human. I don't know anything
about him. He's an absolute enigma. He just says things that I would never expect someone to say. But I mean, Ukraine, obviously, that's kind of a silly thing. But
the shout out to the pod boys who Nate pointed out. All three of our dark horses are into the quarters.
I didn't remember you talking about Denmark at all.
There was a question on the first pod. Okay. I think it was D. Silva's son who was like, what teams do you expect to do well or whatever? Basically, who do you like that people aren't talking about? And my answer was like, I looked at Denmark's squad and I was like, they're really fucking good. And I was surprised. And
Ukraine, Czech Republic, Denmark.
Yeah. And then, me
quarters,
and Nate have a
easy
derby with Czech Republic, Denmark facing off.
Yeah, one
off
of you's going to get to the
horse,
final four.
Horse derby. How many Ukrainians should he get? I don't know. I'm so shocked that Yarmolenko's still standing on his feet. Nationalism, I mean, hell of a drug. Like,
he had this up early, but it's rough. I mean, they play on Saturday, so he's got, you know, like 3-ish days rest. He's just, that was, I mentioned that in Discord watching that game. It's just watching him play in this tournament and then just the last like 3 years of his life at Westernham just withering away on the bench / injured is so upsetting because he's incredible.
I know.
He's just so,
he's so much talent.
Good. And he just bosses games like must mark, like must put two men on, like still beats them and creates, like he has so much in his locker. And he's also, you know,
he's
also
big
as
Robin.
As we watch him against Sweden, he's like barely able to move and he's still like,
whenever they cut to him, he's huffing and he's puffing dying, like me after like doing the stairs in my apartment building or something.
I know.
Like,
he's absolutely dying and he's dead. But he's
last season he
can't fault Yarmo.
375 minutes in the entirety of the West Ham season.
Yeah, it's just upsetting. He's just
he has 354 minutes. So basically the same.
There you go. He played a season in a week and a half.
Yeah, he's dying. He just pack of ciggies like a day, just dying.
And you know he's just gonna go back to London and just fuck it off again. Like he doesn't care. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like I mean that also applies to Bale and also applies to Hazard, where just like look at Hazard tracking back in the 90th minute to pull his hamstring and like make a tackle and shit. Like he hasn't played in 2 years for Real Madrid.
I know. I know.
It's crazy. But Jeff D said, game theory. I have 9 players eliminated, but I'm in first in my money league. Most of my closest rivals have their wild card left. How many hits do I take this round? So I guess it's the same answer as the first one, I think.
Well, I think, so this is where I'm going to go with this opposite. Right?
Okay.
Take hits, but do not get any of the favored teams and go complete. Because for you to win this, you need Switzerland to win.
You need
Denmark to, you know, win twice or something.
A disadvantage.
You're just, and if you just are taking hits to get like
the
chalk team, then you're just fucked.
That's
completely
true.
Fucked.
That's a good call.
So that's where I would go with that.
Okay, so who
go,
do we like there then? That's an interesting one because I didn't think about that. So the underdogs are clearly Switzerland, Belgium, Czech Republic, Ukraine.
I think you go max like Denmark. You just have to call the Denmark and Czech Republic game and go max on whoever you think is going to win first and foremost, because that's going to be your biggest differential because no one's getting any of those players.
Well, I think Denmark, people are going to get Denmark, I think.
Maybe
because
Molly's,
I think they're
it. That's
huge.
It.
I
Maybe
think they're
Damsgaard.
Huge favorites. Damsgaard, yeah. But yeah, I guess we don't even know if like Dolberg's in a start or anything.
Yeah, but I think you pick, you know, either Ukraine or Switzerland, like you got to hope one of them wins and whichever you think has a better chance of winning, I would get like 3 or 4 of their players.
I think I would go Ukraine clean sheet as like at between Switzerland, Spain, Ukraine, England, like England are so much more conservative and passive than Spain are.
Yeah, don't get Ukrainian attackers.
Yeah, it's a better chance to me of that game like going to penalties at 0-0 or something than Spain just not eventually breaking through versus Switzerland.
Yeah, maybe you get like Shaq.
Yeah, Shaq, Mbolo, Seferovic.
Yeah, and then maybe
Zuber,
you go on Belgium.
It's been a monster.
Zuber. And maybe you go on Belgium over Italy because everyone's going to have 5 Italian players.
Yeah, because Spain is also fucking soft. Like,
yeah,
they can concede three to Croatia.
So that's what I would probably do in that scenario, or for anyone who's listening within a similar place. You know, I think that's, if you don't have a wild card, it has to just get wild for you to be.
Yeah.
Doing things. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You can't just absorb like a minus 20 to have the same players that everyone else is with two rounds left.
And it's not even a minus 20. He's 9 eliminated. It's like a minus 32.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's insane or whatever.
Happy said, I'm looking for punty forwards. There seems to be a few. Who do you like? Also, is Kane worth a forward slot at this point? Because he scored a goal,
Kane's,
I guess.
I think Kane's horrendous. Pick.
He looks so bad and slow. Yeah. I don't know what the hell's wrong with him.
I mean, I feel like Schick is a good punt.
Yeah, I agree with that.
And, I mean, Seferovic, for as much of a fucking donkey he is, he's somehow scoring like one in... Yeah, he's in form. I think that's probably it. No one else is a punt. Ukraine, you can't like the Yaremchuk against England.
His passing is actually out of control good.
Yeah, it's really
But then
good.
Like he just doesn't get into scoring positions.
How old
like,
is he?
I have no idea. I think he's relatively young. 24 is my guess. Watching you.
Nah.
Oh, okay.
That's a little
Yeah, if
bit
he
of
was 21,
one.
I'd be like, holy shit, this kid could be really good.
Yeah. He reminds me of a type of forward that like a Bob replacement sort of guy.
Yeah. Okay. The other punt that is interesting, I don't know if we're definitely not actually going to get news on Kev Hazard, but you know, this. I think they're likely Mertens. Fucked. And if it's Mertens, like Mertens, Carrasco, you're getting value there, you know?
Yeah, well, Carrasco's a mid, but Mertens. could be a throw of the dice.
Yeah.
Because Italy, you know, yeah, they were a little all
they
sorts.
They were pressured for sure.
Yeah.
Dragon Breaker, fantasy aside, what do you guys think about Euro 2020? Which teams or players have impressed you the most?
Yeah, I like that question a lot.
Fucking amazing tournament, and I think everyone that was watching football on Monday will forever remember that day of football.
Yeah.
It was just the most incredible, wild day ever of football.
Yeah, I mean, international football, it's always a shock to watch it after spending so many hours watching club and you know, European competition football. The quality is just so much lower. Mm-hmm. Managers' quality so much lower. Yeah. Players haven't played together that much, and you have, you know, a handful of players on these teams that are just not that good.
Yeah.
As we're seeing, you know, like we watch Sweden play, right? You're seeing like there's four players on the team are fucking shit. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of how it goes. But the chaos and the so enjoyment good. And entertainment levels have been off the charts
off
this
the
tournament,
charts.
I think.
Yeah,
it's been really, really fun. Way more fun than the last World Cup to me.
They shoot from distance. Like, the defending is so sloppy.
Everyone's
just tired and can't track. And it's just like the only really kind of shitty-ass game was Belgium-Portugal. Like, the most star-studded of all of the entire round. Which was, that was more like, this is a big club matchup that's really hyped, and it's like
I also feel like the England-Germany game was really bad as well. I think it just feel that way because all of a sudden the last 15 minutes there's fireworks, but
it
the
was.
Game was really bad.
Like, nothing really happened for the majority
Which is,
of the game.
You know, Southgate wanks so hard to that,
the other games were just like a billion goals, maximum chaos, maximum drama, and it was fucking incredible. So it's been great. Yeah.
So what about some players? I mean, I mentioned Yaremchuk. He's definitely someone that I don't think I've seen Gent play.
I had never heard of him.
I just read about him that he was Ukrainian, blah, blah, blah. Prep. But I never saw him.
Spinazzola. He's just really fucking good. It's sad
he's going to really flourish under Moo.
Yeah, it's sad that he's going to play left center back under Moo and never be allowed to cross the halfway line. That sucks for him. But who else? Zuber's been good.
He's been playing really well.
Damsgaard,
really,
of course.
Damsgaard's been good, knitting things together.
I mean, I think Højbjerg also deserves a mention. I think widely considered to be like he had a really good season for Spurs, but then the team kind of melted down and fell apart and people forgot about him. But he has even more responsibility for Denmark with Eriksen out, and he's just
getting into the box. He can't finish or anything, but he's getting in good positions.
His passing's good. His energy is out of control. That's been impressive.
Schick, right?
Sarabia, I never really rated. He's just like a... Yeah. Off the bench, kind of bad player for PSG. I mean, Forsberg Renaissance.
Yeah, Forsberg Renaissance has been very on this tournament. Unreal. He's going home, but yeah, he's been really good. I'm trying to think. Also, I think there are some center backs I felt like I've liked a lot, but I can't. They're not coming to mind right now. Oh, fucking Boyata, I thought.
Oh, you love
so,
him.
I loved. I've
but
been
he only played one game, right?
He played like two games, one and a half game.
Amazing.
But I was really enjoying him.
Yeah.
Also,
just some managers I think are, as of now, Sabitzer. Coming away really well. The the Denmark manager, I'm happy that I shouted him last pod. And then everyone's big takeaway from Wales-Denmark was like, he moved Christensen into midfield and Denmark dominated the game from that point on and fucked them. And I was like, yeah, he's good. And he did a really good thing that international managers usually don't do.
Yeah, adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's some good Austrian players too, right? Sabitzer's been playing really well. His engine's also been very impressive. He's been all over the place. Yeah. I mean, I don't think he scored a goal, but he's been one of the better players I've
seen. Giraffe, man. Sasa's header was like the sickest header I've ever seen in my life. I was thinking about like if Giroud scored that header, it would just be world-renowned best header of all time. That was
a fucked up header.
Insane.
It's even more impressive based on how tall he is and how like he got his body shaped down. Far like,
Giroud's from the ground he is.
Yeah. It's just it was something.
Yeah, like he's 23 and just had his first season starting regularly in the Bundesliga and scored 16 goals. Like that's interesting.
Yeah, I mean I don't think he looks of great player right now, but he has something that you can't teach, which are his measurables. So maybe, you know, you get him in a room with Mark Hughes and you get something out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Chris,
I don't know.
Back up. And there's also Renato I wanted to mention too, who just disappeared for 4 years. I mean, he supposedly had a really good season this season, but the years before that, since Euro 2016, he was like just bad and just didn't really do anything or didn't develop as quickly as people thought. Maybe is really what
he's
it was.
He's been at Monaco, right?
He was at Bayern and then Swansea, I think he was at Lille year. Let me see. Oh, we're both looking it up. Yeah, Lille. Past 2 years. And apparently it was really good this year.
They won the fucking thing this year.
Helped them win the title, yeah. But he just looks unreal again. Yeah. And he's still only 23. Liverpool are looking at him. Other teams are looking at him for a good reason.
Yep, definitely. Yeah,
that's some guys.
That's some guys. Got some names in there.
And then can I get a hell yes at best teams to load up on, which I think we already
covered. I mean, you know, you got the heavy favorites and then, you know, whatever. How do you see the Belgium-Italy game? Because I think that's, you know, the most tight, interesting one, other than Czech Republic-Denmark, which is also going to be a tight one, but, you know, it just doesn't have a clear favorite.
I think Italy will be favored and should be favored and are a much better team, I think.
Okay. So you think that they're the wobbles behind them and he'll probably make a couple changes and they should be able to... I think Belgium, it's also going to matter if they have Kev. I don't think it matters as much if they have Hazard, but I think it matters more. I just don't think it's like, you know, that much of a loss to not have Hazard given the rest of the team. But if they don't have Kevin, I think that's going to be a difficult one because Tielemans... You know, when we saw him play like the game and a half without Kev, it's just like slower. It was a lot worse.
Again, it's like I just don't understand. Like Roberto Martinez is clearly like this kind of worked back three situation for the past tournament, so I'm gonna just do it again because it kind of works. But like, I don't really see the argument to doing it, and they're so open in midfield. Like Witsel isn't Conte. He's good, but like he's not like he'd gobble everything up, make every tackle. Yeah. There and Tielemans he doesn't really do that much defensive work at all.
He doesn't even tackle. Dendonker can't move. He's not an option.
And like when Kev plays midfield, they're basically asking him to do all of the defensive running and pressing and all that shit and be Kev going forward.
Yeah.
It's just like they need a third midfielder and they did nothing versus Portugal. Yeah, absolutely nothing.
Which is similar to kind of how they've been going through group, I think. I don't feel like they've really been creating or looking good at all. They just have really good players and they've been kind of possessing the ball a bit, but they're not threatening and they're not like putting forward barrages of attacks.
Compared to Italy, who, they had a shaky 45 minutes or so, but are clearly like very well drilled, organized. They have a way to attack. They have a way to defend. They have cover in the places where they're sending guys forward. Like, I just feel like they're just going to manhandle them.
But okay.
That's my
feeling. Yeah, I mean, I'm inclined to agree. I feel like that the difference in quality is enough. And like you said, I think the plan matters. We've seen Italy like passing triangle it through all rip through teams.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we don't know, right? That it did seem like there was a very mental fragility without old man Chiellini back there. They didn't respond. They felt they just kind of cowered and turtled and retreated for a long time. And they're very lucky to be in this tournament still.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that they learn from that. And maybe Chiesa comes in. Maybe, like, you know, maybe Chiellini will be back. Maybe Locatelli. I think Locatelli probably earns a start. You know, and they can rebound, but we'll see.
All right, good job by you.
That's it for questions.
All right.
Relatively short pod, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's good. I think that's a job done. I don't really have much more to add, I think.
I mean, the main thing is that I keep saying it. I'm just really excited. It's been so good.
Yeah, it's like been a lot of entertainment. 90%
of the games have been fucking awesome. And the other is like, I'm still really invested in England, Germany. I'm still really invested in Belgium, Portugal.
Yeah.
Even though they're like slow, bad, boring games. It's,
Ukraine could win this thing.
Dude, pretty much anyone could win this thing at this point. Like, honestly.
Ukraine can fucking win this thing, dude.
None of these teams are the super teams.
I agree.
Like, there's no...
How about France, by the way? They were awful. This tournament.
Yeah, but then they were awful, and then when they went up, I mean, everyone was tweeting this and saying this in Discord and everything, but when they went from 1-1 to 3-1, it was like, oh my god, France are back. Like, they have woken up, they're insane,
scam.
They're so good. Hey, total fraud. Longley. We want to talk about stocks dropping. He is fucking
nightmare. Put
Longley
straight in the team and rip him off at halftime. That's how you manage.
I forgot to mention this
that
also,
was an insane thing.
Is like, there's, it's kind of like all the managers that we've been like completely shitting on, not just us, a lot of people, like Santos, like Deschamps, like Roberto Martinez. I'm just like, De Boer.
Yeah.
They all kind of got theirs, you know? Like,
yeah, I mean, Southgate's the only one that's really still in the company. I mean, Bobby Mart's still in there.
Southgate, yeah, he is, but I think he'll get eliminated. But Southgate, I always held above these other ones, even though he's boring and conservative. I'm not like, he's fucking terrible and stupid. Whereas, like, you look at France's talent and group of players, and you're like, I'm just not sure that this is the best way to deploy them. You look at, like...
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I think that's a similar argument waged against Southgate.
Except they
look at his
clean every game.
Yeah, they've been cleaning and winning. I think they just apply it in different ways.
Yeah, I think England have a much more like defined way to defend.
Yeah, we play with eight defenders and we hope to score a goal. If not, we go to extra time.
Whereas France just list all those guys on the team sheet but don't really have a plan.
They look like they've never played together before. Somehow, even though they've all played many tournaments together. It's crazy. Well, you also have to take the France thing too. Mbappe. He had the worst tournament of anyone in this tournament, probably, based on the expectation level to him, the amount of chances that he actually had and did not convert was just...
He just had a rough one.
He could have had 6 goals this tournament. He has fucking 0.
Yep.
And to miss the penal
which I called, by the way.
And that's a rough one for you, Mr. Mbappe. I mean, you're obviously a fantasy fraud. He's in the fraudulent zone with fraud Lewandowski, I think. I've been saying this since we started fighting.
Ronaldo, too. Like, get out of here.
Even though he had so many goals.
I know, but fraudulent when we owned them. Lewandowski scored goals, too. And Rabiot at left wing back and just, you know.
He's just like, how can I put a team forward that can lose? And he finds a way.
The thing,
and
that
don't
is
forget
most
the Switzerland
staggering.
Though they went, you mentioned going 1-1 to 3-1, they should have been 2-0 down. Like, Rickrod gave them the game, like missing a penal in that
you
moment
saw the
was,
guy you saw the Swiss fan, right? The like yeah, one yeah, who was yeah, like yeah, crying yeah. Oh my god, for people who didn't see it, there's this Swiss fan with a bucket hat absolutely gushing in tears after like the Rickrod miss pen, and then fast forward to equalizing 3-3. His shirt's off, his hat's off, his sunglasses are off, and he's just Game of Thrones screaming his fucking face off. It's the best thing ever.
And he's so good. So, all right, I think that we could probably wrap it.
Yeah,
there, right?
We got new signups. Makes sense. We're taking a break. Heroes Fantasy, rest in peace. Any last words from you, brother, before the break?
I'll see you tomorrow plus 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, see you tomorrow plus 2.5 weeks. Check us out! at fmlpl.com. Follow us on Twitter at fmlpl. Support us at patreon.com/fmlpl. Subscribe, rate, review, it's here.
Podcast Network.